This is GamerCast episode 290, Didn't Doubt Epic Demon Hunter. This is the show recorded on the 23rd of April, 2012. Yeah, I'm your host, my name is Paul, and joining me this week is Catherine.
Hello.
So once again, you're here, aren't you?
Yep.
Now for the news.
Yeah, so what's in the news this week then? That's a good time to cut over to you.
Tired.
Well, maybe if you didn't do the Ludum Dare stuff all the time, yeah, and actually go to bed instead of making a computer game, you wouldn't be tired.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Firstly, I suppose, should we say happy birthday to the Spectrum?
No.
Why not? ZX Spectrum's 30 years old today, isn't it?
Yeah, the rubbish one.
The Plus 3 was good.
Neubauer?
Plus 2 was good.
Neubauer.
Well, happy birthday, Spectrum.
I had a decent one.
Which is the Plus 2? Is that the one with the built-in tape?
128K.
Oh, okay. Was the Plus 2 one with the built-in tape on the side?
Mine had a built-in tape.
Plus 3 had a disc drive.
Discs.
There weren't many games on discs for it.
No one will use discs.
Okay, so firstly, well, after Spectrum news, of course. Well, not really news. God of War Ascension's been announced. This new
Wait. 40 Americans have done what Spectrum is. Grow a brain.
Or some knowledge of gaming history.
Or computers.
It's a big kind of thing in games history.
Yeah, but it's Spectrum. A British thing. You know, people don't.
Yeah, it is a bit British, but still. I'm sure there are people out in America who know what Spectrum is.
Yeah, it's a spectrum of light.
Sinclair Spectrum. It's Sinclair, isn't it? Yeah?
Yeah, Mr. Sir Cliff Sinclair or whatever
his name is. Is it Cliff? Or isn't it Clive?
Clive, Cliff, whatever it is.
I think it's Clive Sinclair, isn't it?
Who cares? Let's get on with this God of War stuff.
I did start talking about it.
Obviously you haven't. A new God of War game has been announced. This is a PlayStation game, and so nobody really cares about it, to be honest.
I do. New PS3 God of War from... Well, there hasn't been that many details announced. There's a cool teaser trailer, which is in the nice kind of... I'd say like ink flowing kind of cool look as the God of War 3 stuff had. The trailer kind of tells that it's going to be a prequel to previous stuff, and it'll be pretty cool. Some things have said maybe prequel to Ghost of Sparta, which is a PSP title. I think it'd be cool
because
the Santa Monica studio do a great job of the God of War games. So I imagine this will be just as cool.
Oh.
I feel the need to go on. Killing Floor, which is a Steam game. Well, it's on Steam, PC. I know, like, one of the main things it's on is Steam, I believe. Has sold a million copies, so they're releasing a gold edition, which is going to have a...
What's so bad about the floor?
It's being killed.
That's all right, as long as it's a floor being killed.
Birds?
That's all right now.
Yeah, so they're releasing a gold edition that will include the normal game, all DLC to date, and a new female character, which also introduces female voiceovers into the game. Yeah, they're happy to have hit 1 million. They'll now have a nice new retail copy. It's coming out June 1st in North America. Come here.
What did I tell you about looking at your computer?
I know you did. And Europe on June 1st. It's been released by Iceberg?
Iceberg!
Is it not being released by Iceberg? No, it's not being released by Iceberg. Oh, it is. I'm just all over the place. It's because I haven't had much sleep. Iceberg. Tripwire. Tripwire, the studio that made the game. Pro Cycling Manager Tour de France 2012 has been announced. This is made by...
What is that noise?
What noise?
Sounds like someone's letting fireworks off outside.
Really?
Which is really weird because it's wet outside. Unless it's you kicking my table.
I ain't kicked anything. So yeah, a new Pro Cycling Manager Tour de France game. This isn't only coming out
on
PC.
Hang on a minute. Diablo 3?
It's not in mine.
Diablo 3, yeah?
Fine, you can come
So anyway, if you've got a time machine, you can go back in time and play the Diablo 3 open beta stress test.
Or you can wait a couple of weeks. If you don't happen to have a time machine. Although, if you do have a time machine, you can give it to us, and we'll make great use of it.
Nibba, interrupting my show. I'm not doing it anymore. Nibba!
Talk about Diablo. You played it. You got to play it. I didn't get to play it.
So yeah, if you've got your time machine, you can go and play it till level 13, where your character will get maxed out. And then it's got like the first act in the game. Or an act. Don't know if it's a first or not. Yeah. It's Diablo. Some might argue it's a bit dumbed down compared to number 2. But I don't care. The multiplayer in it is obviously the big thing. Because people have multiplayer now, yeah? So, you just drop in out with your friends' multiplayer.
Still, cool. I like those kind of games on my own.
Lame. The beta did seem really easy, though.
Oh, really?
Like, superbly easy.
To get to level 13?
No, just you'd never die.
No, I can't ever recollect dying in Diablo 2.
So, yeah, but the thing is, multiplayer is...
You're invincible.
No, the thing with multiplayer is you want it to be a challenge. You know, your friends have to help you. Obviously, well, it didn't have any difficulty settings other than normal, which you couldn't change. So obviously, when you play it proper, you know.
When you play it proper, like...
You'll max out the difficulty to hell or nightmare or whatever they call it, difficulty on it. And then it'll be more of a challenge because, to be honest, it was like... It's not a challenge, man. I want it to be like World of Warcraft when we're doing a dungeon and we're noobs. We're like level 5s in the dead mines. How the hell do we get in there?
Dead mines.
We have no idea. But it's a challenge. That's what, you know, you need a challenge, man. You don't just want to click, click. Yeah, that's cool. You want a challenge, man. And speaking of challenges, it's a challenge to do the Tour de France, which is why Catherine's doing it next year.
Really? I can't cycle that much. You can do it. Yeah.
Okay, can I have a new bike?
No. So Pro Cycling Manager Tour de France 2012 is coming out on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 and PC. Cyanide, the developers of it, have taken feedback from last year's game and have apparently improved graphics, changed controls, made a more realistic AI, and for the first time ever they've added a multiplayer mode.
Yeah, the multiplayer is obviously going to be the fun part of this game.
So it's Pro Cycling
Manager,
but do you get to race at all? How will a multiplayer work with management? I wanna race bikes and then bump into people and knock them off their bikes.
What, at 40 miles an hour down a nice descent? Yeah, great idea, Catherine, yeah.
And cause an accident and kill everyone.
Let's cause a massive pile up, yeah. That's sensible, isn't
it? It's only a game.
It's not a game. You're managing your team, yeah? What are you struggling now for?
So it's coming out June. When's the Tour de France? Do you know?
In the summer, isn't it?
Well, the game.
No, they do it in the winter when it's raining all the time.
Thanks, Paul.
The spring when it's raining all the time.
Coming out June. Okay. Humble Indie Bundle. There's a new one up, which is pretty cool. So this one is an Amanita Design based one, who are the guys that made, well, the company that made Samwise 2 and Machinarium. So this bundle is called the Humble Botanicular Bundle. Botanicular is the newest game that Amanita Design have made, where you're like these little tree creatures...
Trying
to save your home from parasitic invaders.
Name Bauer.
And it's, I guess, I haven't bought it yet. I need to buy it. A kind of adventure puzzle game, like they always are.
I'm just fiddling.
Okay. The coolest thing with it, though, if you ask me, is that if you do buy it, if you pay more than the average...
Yeah.
You will get
Diablo 3.
No, you won't get Diablo 3. If you pay above the average, which currently is $8.82, which isn't too much, you get two extra bonuses, which is a little game called Windowsill, which you can buy off Steam. It's kind of a little interactive game with a windowsill where you create events and stuff like that. And you also get Kooky, the film that some of the guys at Amanita worked on, which I like. I loved the trailer. It's just awesomely cute. And they're a Czech company, I believe. And the game itself has been funded by, like...
some guy.
Czech film people and all this stuff. But what it is, it's a live action with, I believe...
Czech people!
Puppet animation and stop motion. With a cute little guy.
Alright, can you stop looking at it, please?
I was just looking at the trailer. So, Cookie had its premiere in the UK back at Game City last year. I didn't manage to get to see it. So, if you do this, you can get a copy of it. I don't believe they've said what resolution you get Cookie in.
Six.
I see. Also, as a difference, you can also support the World Land Trust.
The World of Warcraft. Cool. That's a cool thing to support.
A charity to do with preserving acres of land and stuff. So you can put your money towards that as well instead. So Botanicula, Machinarium, Samros 2, Cookie, and Windowsill if you pay over $8.80. Otherwise, you can pay like $1.
Can we just play Diablo 3?
However, they have now changed it. So, if you want a Steam key for the games, or Steam keys for the games, you have to pay over $5. So I guess maybe there's charges involved that they've now decided they're going to try and get money off people from. Because in the past, they've just given you Steam keys no matter what you paid.
Man, well, you know what Steam's like, man. It's Valve.
I've already got Machinarium and Samros 2, but I want Botanicula and Cookie. So,
well, if you want it, buy it.
I'm going to be buying it.
You're not allowed.
I want to buy it. I'll put it into my money document.
Your money document? That makes it all right, yeah.
It's only going to be like
£4. I'll put my £4,000 bike into my money document, then it's okay, yeah.
Next up, Sorcery of the Serpent has been announced to be released by Iceberg. Sorcery of the Serpent is an adventure game which is in the series of Last Half of Darkness, which originally started in 1989, and they've still been making games. And this is not the last chapter. This is
the first from the second chapter. That one.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming out 18th of May. It's an adventure game, like point and clicky. It's got a backstory behind it. Shall I read the backstory?
No.
Nay. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. May 18th. 15
minutes in. Come on.
May 18th, available at retail and via digital distribution. Train Giant has a demo. Train Giant is the newest A-Train game, number A-Train 9. This is a train city simulation game. Charlotte quite enjoyed playing it. Our review's on the website. And you can download the demo off... well, if you go on Gamercast's website, you can find the link and click on that to download it. Otherwise, you can just buy the game for £19.99. At retail, or cheaper, of course, if you have a hunt around. Crusader Kings 2 has had its patch. We mentioned this briefly with the DLC that was coming out. So it's, I think, 1.05. They've added new Crusade system, coalition armies, 2 new plots, 100 new events, 6 new kingdoms, new diplomatic options, causes of death, war contribution scores, and... culture has been uncoupled from ethnicity. So yeah. So they've just added lots of new stuff. Thanks, Paul. That's great. I'm Diablo. Rah, 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 rah.
Do you want to get on with the news, yeah?
Halo 4? So we mentioned Halo 4 last week, because we were talking about the soundtrack. And now, well, the game's been given a release date. This is just weird having Diablo head.
We want to play Diablo.
I can hold it. If you put it there, I can hold it.
You dropped it.
Oh, no, I fell on the floor. So Halo 4 has a release date of November 6th. Yep, November 6th.
November 6th, 2012.
This
or 25.
Of course, means we have our new outing with the Master Chief. I imagine it will have...
his
special
name's Mr. Chief.
Sorry, Mr. Chief. I imagine Mr. it will Chief have another Legendary Edition. There'll probably be another console release. It'll probably be playable at E3, so I can probably see if I can have a go. Although
hopefully it should just play like a Halo game.
It would by default probably be multiplayer that they've got on show if they do. It's made by 343, of course. This is their first full game that they've developed. They've helped out with other stuff in the past, but never done a full game. So hopefully they haven't screwed it up, but I'm sure they've had lots of overseers from Microsoft
being like, don't do this wrong.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, they haven't together as a team all made a game together.
Yeah, but presumably in the interview, yeah, they would ask, are you a team player? And people would say, yes.
I don't really like that. Well, it depends on the key people in the company. I'm sure they do a good job of it. Maybe.
PC version.
Well, you go tell them that. Go knock on their door. Right. Hey, 343, make a PC version, please. And they say, I'm not going to be nice anymore. Do it now. Next up, Classic FM Hall of Fame. So we mentioned this a while back. The winners, I suppose, were announced fairly recently. It was during the... Oh no, did I already mention this?
Done. I've asked them that.
I think I already mentioned this actually a couple of weeks ago. Oh, I did, so it doesn't matter. But what I will say is after looking at the Classic FM Hall of Fame, they did beat quite a few well-known songs. But they didn't beat the Planets. Were you listening to the Planets the other day? After I said that, you weren't, didn't you? No, you didn't?
No.
No, okay, fine. They did beat a few things that I like. So like Symphony No. 7 by Beethoven. Where else did they beat? They beat some Lord of the Rings music. The Shore?
No way, you cannot beat Bilbo Baggins.
Do you know that track, The Shore, or something like that?
No, I...
Well, you got the soundtrack, haven't
you? I only listened to the Bilbo Baggins song.
Oh. Yeah, there was like a Lord of the Rings song in there.
The Bilbo Baggins song done by Spock. Beat that.
I imagine next year the guys who were campaigning to get the games in the Classic FM Hall of Fame will try and do it again to try and get to number one. I don't know how viable that would actually be, but you never know. They might get some more game music in there. They beat the 1812 Overture as well. And Four Seasons.
Why are you wiggling your finger at
me?
I don't care.
Well, you're like, no one cares about those songs. No one knows what those songs are, but I know what they are. Next up, a new event has been announced called Rezzed.
We don't need to talk about that.
So this is another Eurogamer event, but in collaboration with Rock Paper Shotgun, the PC gaming focused website.
So take a rock beats a shotgun, yeah.
I suppose because you can beat a rock on a shotgun. So it's Eurogamer and Rock Paper Shotgun. It's a PC and indie game show, so they're only showing PC games, apparently. This is what they've said. Of course, they might change their minds. It's happening in Brighton, of all places. So all those poor people from, I'd say, London upwards, it's quite a journey for you. Because Brighton's all the way down south, of course. It's annoying to get to from anywhere.
It's not annoying to get to from here.
Train-wise, it is.
No. You cycle down there?
So it's happening in July. So you've got a lot of notice if you'd like to buy tickets. So it's the 6th and 7th of July. The 6th is a Friday and 7th is a Saturday. It's happening at the Brighton Centre. I'm not entirely sure where that is because I haven't gone around Brighton that much.
Brighton?
Well, yeah. Brighton's big. So they've announced a few...
dinosaurs.
Developers who are kind of supporting the event stuff. So Sega, Crypt Assembly...
yeah, because they're indie, aren't they?
Well, Crypt Assembly do PC games.
Indie.
Yeah, it's PC and indie games. So as well as that, they've got Colonial Marines on show, apparently, so I guess not the console version. Sniper Elite V2 on PC, I guess. Stronghold Kingdoms. You got Cube, Serious Sam 3, and War Mage Battlegrounds have all been announced to be either playable or have something to do with the event. As well as that, the ticket prices... so you could pay £20 to go for the 2 days, so the Friday and the Saturday. Of course, if you work the Friday, you have to get the Friday off work, otherwise you won't really be able to go. Or you can pay £12 per day. So if you just want to go the Saturday, you could spend £12 on a ticket. I don't believe they've said exactly what time it's happening. Let's have a see. Oh, there you go.
Lunchtime!
10 a.m. to 6 p.m. each day. So I suppose if you were working or if you live in Brighton... You could always pop there on your lunchtime because it's 10 till 6, or you could pop there after work. I don't think there's really much else to say about it. They're going to have games playable. They're trying to get lots of indie developers there to have their games playable and to do developer sessions. They're having tournaments there, so at the moment they're having a Quake 2 tournament. Duke Nukem.
Quake 2?
Yeah.
Need power.
They also will have more up-to-date games, Quake 3, for example, a Duke Nukem 3D tournament. I know there's been talk on their Twitter of perhaps a Team Fortress 2 tournament. I think there was something else I saw, because I was having a look on their Twitter earlier to see what they've said to people about the event. They're going to have less tickets than they will for Eurogamer, because it's a smaller event. So they imagine they will sell out, at a guess. Yeah, I don't think they've actually stated... Oh, someone's hoping they're going to have a Team Fortress Classic tournament.
Yeah.
You'd like that when you used to play Team Fortress Classic. TF2's good as well, though. Although it's full of hats. Good. In it? Full of hats.
I suppose so.
So yeah, that's Rezzed. Happening the 6th to 7th of July. You can go on the website, which is rezzed.com, and you can buy tickets from there. If you've got the free time to go down to Brighton, really. And I imagine, because it's July, you might be lucky and actually be able to get there when it's nice weather, and you'd be by the beach. That's quite nice. Unlike how it might be, which is pouring down with rain. And because you're right by the sea, then it gets really windy, and then you get, like, sea wind in your face, and it's not very nice. Because then your hair... Well, if you've got long hair, your hair just goes everywhere. Thank you, Paul. Kingdom Hearts 3D has been given a release date. This is the 3DS Kingdom Hearts game coming out, called 3D. D stands for, well, 3Ds is Dream Drop Distance. This is coming out on the 20th of July, and is the first Kingdom Hearts title to be kind of coming out on the 3DS. Then we've got a load of Nintendo news. So the Kingdom Hearts date was announced with the Nintendo stuff. Firstly, Nintendo are opening their own customer services where you can book repairs easily. Because, of course, Nintendo in the past, they haven't really been an easy person to approach if you want to have your console fixed. Like, I remember years ago, me and Charlotte got Game Boy, like an original one. Or was it a Pocket? It might have been a Pocket. And it didn't have the little screen on the top, so at the top of it, like the glass bit. And we wrote to them, and we could buy a glass piece for $3.95. However, we had to write to them. Of course, now you can email them, but the chances of them replying to your emails are probably quite slim. So now...
You can get a Wii second-hand year guarantee for like £40.
Yeah.
What's the point in having it repaired?
Well, they do it for Wii's, DS's and 3DS's, and of course they'll probably do it for Wii's as well.
Why?
They're saying that customers that take advantage of the repair service, you get an initial inspection free of charge, which includes free shipping for their consoles and accessories. There's no obligations. However, if you do choose to have it repaired, you get your product back within 7 days. When they're still under warranty, repairs are free.
And
when,
I should hope so.
Oh, yeah. And they're also then returned with a new one-year warranty free of charge once they've fixed it. I imagine then, of course, it also works as a way to... get your console fixed if it's out of warranty, which is a nice thing for some people. Of course, though, with a Wii or something like that, they're not really worth that much anyways, so it's probably better buying just a new one or a pre-owned new one.
Pre-owned new one.
Oh, well, you know what I mean, like buy another console. Well, they're so cheap now, aren't they?
So why? They've always been cheap.
But then again, Wii's been out ages. They came out when I started uni.
Yeah, I know.
Ages. I remember getting that, my Wii.
I remember working in 583 when the Wii came out.
Yeah. Yeah, so they've got a new telephone number for their support thing, and there's a Nintendo Service Center website that they've launched for you to contact them. So, as well as announcing this, they had a Nintendo little conference thing over the weekend, which involved them announcing new Super Mario Bros. 2. For 3DS, which is coming out in Europe in August. They also announced they're doing a system update which has new functions and blah blah blah, lots of new stuff. Two new download Pokemon things coming out on the 3DS via the eShop. They also mentioned, although it was already announced anyway, Project Zero 2 Wii Edition coming out June 29th, as well as Spirit Camera: The Cursed Memoir coming out June 29th.
And a giant Godzilla-like creature attacks.
And Rhythm Paradise. What's this one called? Beat the Beat Rhythm Paradise. It's coming out on Wii in Europe on the 6th of July. And we're finally getting another Rhythm Paradise game, which is pretty darn awesome. I think, if you ask me...
Nearby.
And also, with the European version of Rhythm Paradise, or Beat the Beat, you'll be able to play with the soundtrack from the Japanese version of the game, as well as the one that they give you with the English version, or the European version. So that's pretty cool. That's going to be mega hard, I bet. And, yep, that's 6th of July. I already said Mario. Oh, they're doing a Kirby 20th anniversary thing as well. Although I didn't see any announcement of it for the UK, and it was only on the American press release. And they're doing a special anniversary software disc for Kirby later in the year. And I believe that's all of it. Yeah, that's what I'm announcing. Ghostlight have announced...
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, well, you add things in and you don't add them in here.
To Skyrim.
You don't add them here.
So the game that came out 6 months ago that nobody's played for 4 months is getting Kinect support on Xbox 360 now. Basically, the Kinect support is voiced, like we've seen in other games, such as Halo Anniversary. And what's that other game? Mass Effect 3. So similar along the sort of lines to that, so you use your voice to do things. However, the cool thing with Skyrim is not only can you do the basic stuff of selecting dialogue trees and telling your followers to attack or wait
attack
there or anything, you've obviously got the shouts, which is your cool dragon tongue funky shout type things, which you can use with Kinect. So you can go and then it says, please try again, and it does a funky shout and all that funky stuff. So that is cool. That patch is available now, as far as I'm aware.
Have you downloaded it?
Have I downloaded it?
Yeah.
I've got a PC Skyrim.
Yes, but there's a 360 version downstairs.
I ain't playing a free console now.
So you want to give it a go?
Yeah, bummer.
Jeez.
Yeah, but it'll take me like 10 minutes. Sorry, it'll take me like 2 hours to get to a point where I can find a thing to get one of the shouts to try it out. And even then, I'm only at the very beginning of the shout. So it'll be like, foo. And people will just think I'm weird. You know, without all of it, it's like Nibar. Anyway, Ghostlight. This is a cool thing with ghosts, which are light bulbs.
Ghostlight, so we've mentioned them in the past. They're a publisher in the UK. They release a lot of Atlas's games. They have Atlas. Now officially announced that they're going to be releasing
cool.
Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Summoner, Survivor Overclocked. They're such familiar names. And Shin Megami Tensei, Devil Survivor 2.
Yep. Shin Megami.
So Overclocked is for the 3DS and Devil Survivor 2 is for the DS. These, I believe, are the first 2DS games that Ghostlight have released. Well, DS and 3DS games. And I think that's pretty awesome news that they're bringing them over here. I mean, they're not bringing Strange Journey over here yet, which I had to buy when I went to America. But I think that's pretty cool news. As usual, they are JRPGs because they are in the Shin Megami Tensei series. But it's also news that they're releasing them. Sorry, just double checking if I've got a date of any variety. No. But they're coming out in PAL regions, so Europe. And yeah. So that's pretty cool. I think it's nice that they're branching off of PSP, because, not being mean, but PSP is slightly dying a little bit.
Slightly?
Well,
it's been dead for years.
Well, I mean, not many places sell it anymore as a console or as a game even. I know HMV don't sell them anymore. Next up, we have Max Payne 3 News. And Rockstar and... Rockstar and Rockstar, really, have announced they're doing a comic series in partnership with themselves and Marvel. So they're going to do a Max Payne comic, which is a three-part little doodad. It's also going to be...
It's a doodad? That's cool, that is.
It's going to be released as a digital graphic novel, but there will also be limited edition print versions. So, of course, they'll just do less of the actual copies. It's being written by Dan Houser and Sam Lake. I'm not entirely sure why Dan Houser's involved. I suppose because of the whole Rockstar stuff. But it'd make more sense if Sam Lake was the one person kind of writing it, just because, you know, he's the reason Max Payne exists. The cover art's going to be done by Greg Horn, and pencil and ink is Fernando Blanco. It's going to delve into Max's past, exploring the events that occurred in and around Max Payne and Max Payne 2, leading up to Max Payne 3. And also shedding a bit more light on Max's early years, whether that means before he's married in Max Payne or not, who knows. The first issue, called After the Fall, will be released in the next few weeks for free via the Rockstar Newswire, the Max Payne 3 official website, and additional digital comic channels as well. And that's pretty cool news, I think. Doing a comic could be quite nice. And then finally this week, Batman Arkham City has been given kind of a confirmation of a Game of the Year edition now, which will be coming out on the 7th of September for 360 and PS3. So this Game of the Year edition is going to have some new story DLC with it, as well as all the previous pieces of DLC, which is the 5 map challenge map things. This will have in it the Harley Quinn's Revenge, which is a final chapter in Arkham City that adds more than 2 hours of gameplay, apparently. And I think it's nice that they've finally decided to add some story content in DLC, because why they haven't before, I don't know. I suppose it takes a while to make it, so it makes sense. But if there's a reason to get it, it's that. I'm sure they will, of course, release that piece of DLC, the Harley Quinn's Revenge, later on as well.
Alright.
But of course, I'm sure if you buy the Game of the Year edition, then you'll get the double G's. Like you do with Batman Arkham Asylum.
Double G's.
As in, you can play it once and you can play it twice.
That's cheating.
No, it's not.
It's cheating.
When you can play a game twice.
I'll ban you from the lives.
So yeah, I think that's really cool. Bam. Some story DLC is a great kind of announcement from Rocksteady.
It's time for Name That Game. So last week, everyone would have heard this. Right, note to self, no more 26 second long clips for Gamer, for GamerCast Name That Game. So anyway, Catherine didn't guess.
I said like Conan.
Did you? Because I just wrote that.
Conan. Is it Conan?
No.
I keep saying Conan.
I don't think we had any other guesses. Conan, we didn't have any guesses from French. YouTube because we missed our YouTube
Yeah, because of the problems with the channel.
Because we had issues with the recording.
And dropping
so
the
now
frames.
We are recording a copy locally to avoid that situation. Well, dropping the frames, we're just dropping the recording.
My
computer's about to explode. Anyway, the answer was actually Lord of the Rings Online, Shadows of Agmar. Windsor guessed correctly.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so I actually have to change the show notes.
That's quite odd. Did he play that?
No.
Did he cheat?
Well, he... Because I no doubt I gave some clues that like it came out
you
5 years ago.
You said a date and you said it was an MMO, didn't you?
Yeah, well, there you go. It's not difficult
yeah,
to
work
out.
Yeah, you gave a date and I guess there probably weren't many other MMOs that came out.
So, GZ, Mr. Matthew Windsor.
I never played Lord of the Rings.
I'll just put Lord of the Rings online for the show notes. This week we have Sonic... We're following the theme of things that were released like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. Years ago.
What kind of theme is that? Older games.
It's a
games from the past.
Games that have already come out. So this is this week's. Yeah, so this game is a few years old. It's the first in a fairly successful series, which is still having games released in the series today.
I don't get any other hints.
You shouldn't need any more of that. It's classic.
Well, it sounds really familiar. But
it's classic, that is.
You threw me off when you said it's still got games being released today.
Why, what did you think it was?
Well, when I heard it, I thought, oh, is that Pirates or something? Is it Sid Meier's?
Nate Bauer, we don't want Sid Meier around here. Get lost, you're not invited.
So I don't get any other clues?
No.
Why not? That's really harsh.
Okay, multiplayer. It's got multiplayer in it. Multiplayer is quite important to the game. Yeah.
Multiplayer. It sounds piratey. Can you give any kind of hint about its setting?
It's not piratey.
Is it not?
No.
Any kind of hint about the genre? Or does that give it away?
Shooter.
A shooter. Now, when you say a shooter...
Mainly a shooter.
When you say a shooter... No, don't do your hand. No, stop it. When you say a shooter, do you mean a shoot-em-up? A first-person shooter? Is there another kind?
Mainly first-person, but does have third-person elements. Come on. Come on.
First-person.
Come on.
Third-person elements. And it's old.
This is getting on for the longest show ever.
Oh, no, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I doubt it.
We're already at 45 minutes. Come on.
Ooh, there's like nothing coming out this week anyway. I don't know. You're not being very helpful.
I've given clues.
Not the right clues. I don't know. It sounds familiar, but I don't know what it is.
Okay, it had 1, 2, 3, 4. It's had loads of games in this series. Like, loads. Like a handful of games it's had. A handful. Unlike Pirates.
Well, yeah, that's what threw me off, because...
Ah, yeah. Come on!
But...
But, you can butt all you want. But.
You shouldn't write down everything, I'm sorry.
Well, I've got to do something, yeah, because this is leaving a massive empty audio space in the show.
I know.
And it has to be filled with at least my tippy-tapping.
Well, you're making it sound like I really should know what this is.
No, you shouldn't.
Why not?
Because I doubt you've played it.
Oh.
Come on.
Shooter.
Right, we're giving up. If you think you know what it is, feedback@gamercast.net. Just write a little thing saying, I know what this week's episode is. It's blah, 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 blah. It's not blah, 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 blah. That's the example. Leave a comment on a YouTube video if you're happening to be watching that.
You dubs.
Or if you're in the chat room watching live, you have to shout it out in the next 5 seconds because I'm about to wrap this bit of the show up. Also, just leave a comment on our website, gamercast.net, on this week's episode as well.
New releases this week.
So there's a couple of games coming out. Big one's obviously Prototype 2.
Yep.
This is a sequel to Prototype 1, which is one of these annoying, fancy, sci-fi, mouldy man gone wrong games.
That's what the back should say. It's a sci-fi, mouldy man gone wrong game.
What else is there to say, really?
Going out on PS3 and Xbox 360, sequel to Prototype, been made by Rapid, is it?
Rapid. Oh, we don't have time to look it up.
I got it on my thing. Ain't I? Radical. There you go. New start with an A. An R. Radical Entertainment. yeah.
Alright. Bejeweled 3 is also coming out. This is a sequel to the funny square, jewelly shaped, crystally shaped block things that keep coming out of the top of my screen.
Coming on PC, DS, and PlayStation 3.
Whoopie-doo-dah.
Yep.
We've also got Crash Time 3D. This is a 3DS game which has crashes in it.
Yeah, so it's the handheld version of Crash Time for the Syndicate, coming out on 3DS. It's a racing game with crashes and destructible cars and challenge modes and blockbuster action sequences with a rich cinematic driving experience. You are immersed in the roles of two top detectives who are on the hunt for a ruthless crime syndicate.
Sounds fantastic.
A powerful storyline with heart-pounding action throughout. Set in a completely open world city across five different scenarios. Highway, harbour, forest, valleys, and police training facility. So Crash Time 3D, this is the 3DS version. Then you got Crash Time 4 The Syndicate, which is a similar style game, of course, a very different looking, coming out on PS3 and Xbox 360. So I suppose really what it is, it's filling the void because there's no Burnout games. So they're making
there's
the money
on it. There's just these rubbish
it.
Need for Speed games, which have all been lame as of late.
Yep.
So that's it for the new releases this
week.
Yeah,
there's like hardly anything coming out this week.
No, it's quite weak. Good, because we need to get a rock on with the show.
Previews and or reviews.
Right, so Kathleen, if that is your real name.
Did you call me Kathleen or Kathleen?
Kathleen.
Okay, so I know you call me Kathleen. It's like, that's not Kathleen. My name.
Look, Kathleen. Look, just shut up, yeah? My show, yeah? I'll call you what I want to call you. Kathy.
So she,
who I will not name because I will get told off, went to a Paradox thing where they were showing Paradox's new games.
Yeah, I went to a Paradox event. They were showing off as...
So she's going to very quickly...
Oh, just very briefly.
Very quickly, since we're getting on for like 42 minutes
yeah.
now, which is actually not too bad because we didn't have many new releases.
No.
So what did you talk about?
Yes, yeah, so they had all of their upcoming games... Well, most of their upcoming games on show. These were most of the things that they announced at GDC. So we started off seeing the Showdown Effect. Sadly, they only had this running on two PCs. It's an awesome action-packed, action scene, showdown kind of thingy. You remember the video with the Nerf guns and the kids? That music video?
No.
You saw it at Bug?
I see lots of things.
And they shoot an old lady in the head.
Oh, damn.
Do you remember they had Nerf guns? They're shooting
shoot
and there's animated
head.
There's animated explosions over the top. And that's
oh,
kinda,
yeah, I remember that, yeah.
That's what I'd explain that the Showdown Effect is. It's really cool graphic explosions and destruction teamed with awesome kind of one-on-one fighting action. But I say one-on-one, it's going to have
oh,
multiplayer
end.
As well. Well, more multiplayer support. What? What?
So I'm searching for old woman... old lady Nerf gun, and we get this really hardcore person who's shooting this M40, and she's all over the place with it.
So Shadow Effect looks like it's going to be totally awesome. They had a really early build. I managed to have a play though. It feels really nice. The movement's cool and the shooting's awesome, and it's going to be the best bit with the destruction and the shooting and the explosions and just a really cool kind of game. This is made by the guys that made Magicka on PC, and this is their next game. That's Arrowhead Studios.
Star Void.
So Star Void is RTS meets FPS. So it's an RTS game at heart, however...
So wait, like Command & Conquer Renegade?
No, not like Renegade. So it removes the micromanagement. What it is that you have a person that you customise. They can have their own abilities. And then you have a loadout of... I think it was six... I haven't got my notes, they're all downstairs. You get a loadout of six, I believe, different class types that you can have. You then spawn those out. And then you've got them with you, and then you go.
And then my witch doctor jumps down and goes.
So we were doing like a King of the Hill style capture bases.
Oh, we're not talking about Diablo.
No. So you'd go to a base, wait there, capture it, and then you could go find another one. However, of course, there'd be other people trying to do the same, and they can destroy your base and then take it over. What was cool though is that how instant it is. So if your commander dies, like in SUPCOM, I guess, if your commander dies, you're dead. But because it's kind of got the ideas of an FPS behind it, the second you die, you respawn at a spawn position, which is guarded by turrets, so no one can just camp and kill all the people when they spawn. It worked really well.
I want to camp.
I quite enjoyed it, because it was quite nice just taking over bases really quickly and not having to build up massive cities and stuff.
A Game of Dwarves.
So A Game of Dwarves is also made by the same people that made Star Void. It's Zeal. Or Zeal Interactive. I might have that wrong.
Does
I know there's Zeal.
In it?
A Game of Dwarves does, yes.
What about elves? Does that have elves?
I didn't see any elves. I saw orcs.
Leprechauns?
No, it's like dwarves versus orcs. So orcs have kind of taken over. What it is that you've got like a king dwarf
Elfie
and your little dwarfy
orcs
people.
Or Nemo orcs?
Big green orcs.
So like Kermit the Frog style orcs, okay.
Yeah, Kermit the Frog style. So they said their main inspirations for it were Dungeon Keeper and things like Theme Hospital and old school kind of not really management, but I don't know, it's hard to explain. So there was a lot of mining involved. So you know how it's fun to just keep mining things? You played Terraria. So you know how it's like, yeah? You just keep mining and you mine and you mine and you mine. What?
Who would win in a fight? Kermit Frog versus the Tooth Fairy.
The Tooth Fairy?
I.
Kermit? Oh. Why the hell would Tooth Fairy have?
Yeah, so mining stuff in Terraria is really fun. Especially when Kermit the Frog gets on the screen and you think it's Godzilla! So you start running away, but then it's only a little puppet and it's like, oh.
So it's just the same as how, if anyone that plays Minecraft, you can just Minecraft. Have fun just mining out Nimmer. And digging holes. So in Game of Dwarves, what you do is you have dwarves with different classes. You've got like crafters, diggers,
like lemmings.
Miners. Yeah, like lemmings, except it's not a puzzle game. And then you can expand out your little underground area and just build out, finding gold, finding orcs, killing orcs. You get military guys as well to kill the orcs. There's training dummies as well, so you can make sure to level up your miners. It was really addictive. I just ended up having this massive little underground lair because I was just like, I'm just going to build this way and this way. And I had to make it squares.
Well, why didn't you play Terraria?
I enjoyed this game. It had a really cute visual style.
You played Terraria with us, didn't you?
It may sound like an insult, but it's not. But it reminded me of Sega Saturn games. Only in the reason of it, the kind of characters were reminding me of Baku Baku people. Even though they weren't that simple, it just reminded me of that. They had a nice little kind of characteristic to it. But as well as that, they've added a huge kind of customization element to your little area. You can put all this stuff down because your dwarves have happiness bars. So kind of in the way like Sims.
No bar, you're going to get smacked by
head. They have to be happy.
Told.
So if they're not happy, you have to add stuff to make them happy and stuff like that. It was really quite addictive and fun.
What about Dungeon Land?
So Dungeon Land is a new game from a Brazilian studio, which is a 3-player co-op, hack and slash style, I suppose you could say Streets of Rage style game. That's at least what they kind of referred to it as. I don't know if I'd really say that myself, but that's only because of the kind of game I think of Streets of Rage as. Okay, I need to talk, I'm breathing. So in Dungeon Land, you have 3 players. One is a warrior, one's a rogue, and... A mage. Before you start the game, you set their loadout and other things.
You unlock
items as you play through the game,
Witch
as well
doctor.
As cool customizations for your characters that are purely for cosmetic values. There is a 4th player as well. However, it wasn't in the build we had, which is the 4th player gets to play as the dungeon master,
They
then plant the enemies.
Oh, nice.
And so the 3 people are then playing against the other person.
Can I just plant 5,000 enemies around this one corner?
Maybe.
Cool.
Slightly annoying because we couldn't see what the Dungeon Master bit was like. But I reckon maybe they're having trouble figuring it out. Because the thing is, it's local and online. However, the Dungeon Master wouldn't work locally with the other 3 players. Because they'd kind of need their own screen. And then also, if the Dungeon Master can see what the other people are doing, and the other people can see what the Dungeon Master person is doing, then you can kind of cheat as well.
Yeah.
So I think it'd work better just online only, but then I suppose it depends on what they're doing. However, so the game was rock hard, but it was really quite fun.
Download, which is way too easy.
Because it works, you have to cooperate with your friends, so you need to have your mage, they have... On the right trigger, he had like a kind of... It wasn't a healing thing, but it made you invincible for a little bit of time. So you kind of had to do that while you let the warrior go attack people and be a tank. And while the rogue sneaked up behind people and knifed them in the back. It was quite fun. I think it's really nice, the kind of the characters in the game and the environment. So it's... Because it's called Dungeon Land, it's set in a theme park. So there were really nice kind of additions. So like there was a street lamp, but he had hands... Like kind of like the Fantasia broomsticks, and his hands would kind of just come out and grab a bit. They wouldn't actually grab you, but it was really quite nice. And the enemies are quite inventive, so like There were mini wizards who looked kind of like gnomes. There was a really happy purple worm just sat there spawning out other little purple dragons. There was chicken with laser eyes. I think he was pretty darn awesome. He was horrible as a boss because he'd just go like with his laser eyes and then like burn you to the ground. But then there was also like a Cthulhu style mind controlling enemy boss star thing as well. But we never got to play that in our build, which was a bit weird because they played it on the TV. It was really fun. I quite enjoyed it. It was really, really hard though, but I'm sure they will have that balanced out and maybe have a difficulty setting as well. But it was enjoyable, and I reckon with the Dungeon Master element to it, it'll make it a really quite fun and inventive game.
Okay.
And then finally, War of the Roses, which is set during one of the War of the Roses, not the, all the Wars of the Roses. War of the Roses is to do with the Yorks and the Lancastrians, up North Way, or Midlands Way. York's in the Midlands, right? Is York as in Yorkshire?
Yorkshire, where Bilbo Baggins comes from.
Is that because it's a shire?
Shire, isn't it? Bilbo Baggins land.
Yeah, so it's a pretty awesome game because what it is, so it's got a single
Somerset
player
shire.
And a multiplayer, but the main focus is the multiplayer. What it is a third person though. I wasn't entirely sure about this. It's a third person deathmatch game in the 15th century, I believe. And so all you there's a lot of customization on it, so like seriously to the tiniest detail on the weapons. I can't even think of it at the top of my head now because, as I said, my notes are downstairs. But yeah, like you can change like 5 different things on just one sword. It was actually superly, crazily detailed. But yeah, so you can customize your stuff to your heart's content on the main screen, and then when you go into deathmatch, you can then beat the crap out of people. So you can be a longbowman, a crossbow man, a handgunner. Handgunner? A guy with a flintlock style. It wasn't a flintlock style thing. Whatever kind of explosive stick they had back then. You can be light infantry? Is that right? A person on a horse, and then a heavy one on a horse. So you can have a jousting fight, pretty much.
All
right. One of the best deaths I had was someone was running towards me on a horse with a wooden lance, and they just got me right in the middle, and I died, and it splintered, and I thought it was a really cool death. It was pretty fun.
All right. That's cool.
It worked really, really well. I wasn't sure on the third-person aspect at first, but as most of the aiming combat is in first-person, so it'll then zoom in and show you kind of drawing your arrow back and... Well, it's not really first person. It's almost first person. It depends on the thing, though.
So it's third person, but fixed camera. Not third person, as in my camera spins around my camera.
You move the camera.
Oh, so
with the mouse.
Okay.
So the sword combat is apparently like Mountain Blade. I haven't played Mountain Blade, but it's slight movements of the mouse with a click to swipe your sword in different directions, which at first was slightly confusing, but then I really got the hang of it and had more fun slicing up people, because depending on when you did it, because everything's got meters, so like when you're pulling your arrow back, the meter goes up and then it gets to a sweet spot and it'll do the most damage when it gets to the sweet spot. Same with a crossbow, so when you need to load your crossbow, you have to put it on the ground and hold it down until it's turned up all the way, and then you can fire. The handgunner thing, you can only use once, and it had a cooldown of a really long time just because it's super, super powerful. One tactic most people used, because it was really cool, because it was a 20 player LAN at the time. I think they said it's supporting 64 players, which was pretty cool. Most people's tactics was wait for someone to get up close, use the handgun, blow them to pieces, not literally to pieces, but it killed them in one shot. And then just wait around and run around, and then just do the same when another unsuspecting person arrived.
Mm-hmm. So quite cool then.
Yeah, it's really fun.
When's it out?
I don't remember any dates being said for any of these games.
This
year we assume. So, like, every game that I saw was either pre-alpha or alpha.
So very early stuff.
I mean, to be fair, War of the Roses, we were told, had just hit alpha. But to be fair, it looks great for an alpha game.
All right, cool.
All of them looked amazing, if you ask me.
So yeah, that's it for this week's episode. If you don't know, we do record it live at 8 o'clock Monday nights UK time.
Can I say one thing?
What?
There will be written previews on our website soon for those games I mentioned, should you want to check them out in more detail.
About Halo 4? Could preview that?
No, because I went to play the Paradox games.
Well, where is Halo? Why don't they have Halo at the Paradox thing?
They don't make it.
Yeah, but they're all the same game people, aren't they? They make games, don't they? And get together like...
Not really.
So yeah, if you don't know, we do record it live, gamercast.net/live, Monday, 8 o'clock UK time. We do a YouTube version as well for people who want to watch video, but on YouTube, the advantages of that is it's completely unedited.
Fun.
It's unedited because it'd be too much work to edit it. Plus you get to see me pull faces and various other crazy stuff that I do. While Catherine talks about whatever games she's talking about, which are not cool games. Skyrim and Diablo and Halo 4, which are cool games. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I talked about cool games.
The Diablos.
We'll get to bed on May 15th.
Can, of course, be sent to feedback@gamercast.net or can be left on the website gamercast.net, or you can leave it on the YouTube channel as well if you so want. Guesses to name my game can be sent to the same thing, etc., etc., etc. Yeah, that's it for this week. Catch you guys later.
Bye.
Yeah.